B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-za, ba-do-za.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a horn. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Friday edition, Toucher and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. Everyone's back next week. We will be full Voltron next week. But in the meantime, we are in Adam Jones free zone. Everyone can breathe a long sigh of relief and relax. Everybody exhale. It's Wallach. Joe Murray is here. Mike Lockhart is here. We got you until 10 o'clock. 617-779-0985. We got a pretty good show lined up for you today up until 10 o'clock. First and foremost, though, Dan O'Brien is not here. Nick Jamelli is not here. And the reason Nick Jamelli is not here, and Tracy, you have to put Joe's mic on. Wrong microphone. It's this one over here.
There you go.
Now try it. No, you just got to turn it. Now you got to turn him up. Tracy mentioned it had been a while since she'd been in the captain's seat. You okay, Tracy?
I'm fine. The mics are on, and if it doesn't work, then we need to figure out a plan. But
okay.
I feel like I know what I am doing.
Is Joe, are you talking?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, now we can.
Now
we're
good. It's good. It's tricky because Joe is using Joe's microphone.
Doesn't work.
So you have this over here, which connects to Joe's mic over there. Are you with us, Joe?
Can we figure out...
We're all set.
Why the calls... It's Friday. I'm venting. We got to vent.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I gotta get
okay, let's stop everything. What's the problem?
The phone lines don't work sometimes.
A lot.
What's this thing?
Yes.
What is this thing here?
That looks like a broken microphone.
This is
a
broken microphone stand.
Well, the station's not making any money.
It's not, huh? You know, we got a little thing here that doesn't work. I got to use this thing here. She doesn't...
As I said.
She's trying to do this and that, and it doesn't make sense.
We're struggling. We're in last place in the ratings. There are a lot of problems we're dealing with here. So that's the problem.
Yeah. But,
no, it's like this isn't a preseason game. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But first, I need to talk to you, Joe, because I feel the need to check in every once in a while. I was not here for a while, so I've missed the updates. And Nick Jamelli is not here because this is the great weekend of the Craft Brewery Bachelor Party in Denver. He is gone for 4 days. He left this morning, I believe. And he and his buds are going to go drink some brews in Denver and hang out in the Lodo District and just, you know, party the night away. And that, of course, leads me to the Bachelor Party that's going to be here. And we talked to Adam Jones. Jones has been invited. He said it was kind of a slappy way that you put things together. Where are we on the Nick Jamelli Bachelor Party train here in Boston? I'm going. Mike Lockhart, are you in? Are you out?
Nope, I'm not going.
You are out.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to the BC game that day.
You know, that's right.
We're going to text Lockhart during the day.
I'm sure you
be
are.
Be like, dude, just have your old man. You bring your old man and show up.
No. I've been around Mike before. Mike, there's no way in hell you're veering him off course. I've seen that Mike has something going on, and he's not coming. That's just how it is, and don't change it. He's not going to be there.
My mom can't be left at home alone all night long. She just had heart surgery.
Yes, that's very true. So best wishes
to
you, Mike.
No, she can't.
No, I understand.
She can get her walker in. She can walk through the door.
So, Joe, you're delaying things a bit. What's the problem?
Well, I've spoken to Mark. Mark is timid. He's very timid, which means that we have a date. September 18th, it's happening.
I know you sent the evite out. You sent the evite out, and we all know the date, but you know, it's September 18th. That's a little over a month away. We still have no idea, A, who's invited, B, where it is, C, the timing of it. So well, can you clarify things, bring things into focus a little bit?
I would say September 18th is the date. Show up.
We'll
tell you.
When do we show up?
I would say 5 o'clock.
And any place in particular? Are we throwing darts at a dartboard? What's going on?
We were planning on the North End.
That fell through?
No, it's this. Listen, Fred has this big thing about letting Mark Jamelli handle things.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're at.
My understanding was Mark wanted to handle things.
Correct.
You said on this program 2 weeks ago when I was here, you said Mark wants to step in. He's the father of the groom. He wants to control all of this. I found it interesting that Mark wanted to step in and take control of it because as of last month, he wasn't even invited. And it took Fred and Rich, you know, badgering you a little bit just to invite the man and having him on the air. Yes, I would like to come. So then you were kind of forced to invite him. And now he's in control of things.
Well, how about this? Since Nick's not here, like, what do you want to do?
Why does it matter what I want to do?
What do you want to do?
Well, it doesn't matter what I want to do.
Because it's
this is Nick's weekend. It's Nick's bachelor party. I have a lot of ideas. And it's interesting. I'm sitting in the same chair as Rich. Certainly today, Rich has said on multiple occasions, it's taking all that he is not to jump in and just take over and take charge of this. Now I feel his frustration. It has no bearing what I want to do, Joe. It has every bearing on what Nick wants to do and his father wants to do.
Yeah, so that's maybe we should just get Mark on the phone. All I'm telling you is this. September 18th.
Yeah.
You'll have a better invitation. There'll be a better invitation. The plans are still...
So you're going to resend the invitation?
No, there might be more details.
Hopefully.
There'll be more details.
Another e-vite for all of us to respond to, perhaps.
I also made another call yesterday for something else. I'm here next week. We'll talk about it. We'll have more.
So what you're saying is this is completely and utterly unorganized still, after all the badgering that you've gotten.
Well, it's not unorganized. It's just that, like, who's going to take the initiative? Like
I was told it was Mark.
I was told to stay out of it.
So you have no idea what's going on.
It sounds like we're having dinner and getting on a bus, and then who knows? That's the plan.
Okay.
So
dinner, bus.
But we don't have a destination for the bus to go to.
We might.
Okay.
So that's what you're ironing out over the weekend?
Are locations that you and Mark have discussed.
Yes, and there may be a surprise visit somewhere that as well.
Saucus' own adult film star.
Stopping at her house.
Might have something to do with Saucus, yes.
Might it be the plus size model that you were fawning over last week?
Nope.
No, she's not showing up?
No.
And by the way, I saw her tweet you again yesterday. That's a problem he's never getting rid of, by the way.
Why is that a problem, though?
I don't think it's a problem for him. I think it's a problem for the person he lives with.
Oh.
I think I was not here either. But
I told
caught a little hell
I
in the told, morning.
I towed the line a little bit. I think I should have reeled back a little.
Okay.
So it's not Tyler Faith that is showing up at this thing.
No.
But you say Saugus, which immediately means to me everyone's favorite Chinese restaurant.
And this is a Mark Jamelli idea, so we'll...
Okay, so
wait, is that where dinner's going to be, or is that post-dinner? Because why would you go to a Chinese restaurant after dinner?
I was just going to say, okay, so we're going to dinner in the North End, we're getting on a bus, and we're going to Saugus to another restaurant, not to eat.
I don't know. That's what's up in the air this weekend.
Get the man to a strip club.
Dude, there's nothing more that I want than Mark Jamelli and Nick Jamelli.
And Rich.
And Rich, okay.
Yeah. That's actually a real good point.
Sure. Get the three of them
especially
together
at this point in his life, yes.
I'll make it rain. Like, here we go.
What are you making it rain?
Like, here you go.
Saugus wings? What are we raining exactly? It sounds to me like it's duck sauce for everybody. All the strippers will have duck sauce all over them.
That would be like the idea is just Mark and his dad and Rich. Just them two having a moment that they'd never be able to experience.
I see.
And that's all I want from the night.
That's all you want. Like, but what does Mark want? Have you spoken to Mark about this?
Mark has texted me. He's for a guy who's pretty funny, he's got like, hey, I know this guy, I know that guy, but like, doesn't, you know, he asks me a lot, like, dude, why don't you make the initiative?
Well, that makes no sense at all. So you, who really doesn't know Nick all that well, you guys haven't hung out a ton, all of a sudden now his father wants you to take control of this.
I'm going to bring this up one more time.
Okay.
One day after the show.
Joe, by the way, for those of you not watching on Twitch, has just rubbed his eyes in frustration.
I'm frustrated because all this ever was, hey, Nick, do you want to hang out one day before your wedding?
Yes.
Because we're not friends. So that's what happened. And then Lifshatz was like, yeah, we can do it. Yeah.
And this all formed on the weekend.
Yeah. And then, Rich and Fred got a hold of it.
Yes.
And then it was like, oh, and then Fred came up, oh, this is, we got to get Mark's got to do this, not you, blah. All right.
So Mark, they got Mark on the phone. Mark's like, yes, I would like to be involved. I was here for that.
Yes. And then it was like, because I was.
So
then,
Mark wants to be involved, but he doesn't want to. What I'm getting here is he doesn't want to take control of this.
He wants
even
to.
Though,
he doesn't want to, like, he's the pressure of, like, what we're doing is, like, getting to him.
I see. Hence the trip to Saugus to a restaurant after we've already eaten at a restaurant.
Yes.
I see. Well, it seems to me that Mark needs to be invited, but Mark needs to just kind of stand back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And what we're finding out here in this particular segment is we've come full circle. You need to take control of this.
But
Rich, more specifically, needs to take control of this and go, because Rich knows Nick better than you do.
Yes.
Does he? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's known him for longer.
I think we all know Nick about the same.
You know what? You have a good point.
I mean,
there.
He at least, like, texts him. Like,
right.
I mean, we've hung out.
Yeah.
We've gone to concerts together, but not like, you know, hey, let's call Nick.
Like, I don't know his deepest thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I'll pick you up on the way there. It was nothing like that.
Right.
Yeah. No, you got a good point, Mike. So what we've learned here is Rich, someone other than Mark Jamelli needs to take control of this. And it needs to happen soon because we're just over a month away.
Well,
and we've been talking about this for 6 weeks.
So Mark set up the North End part, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that could be
his
contribution.
Part. Right.
Yeah. Rich will take care of the bus.
And then afterwards.
Somebody else take control of the destination. All right, so I think we're learning things.
Yeah, I think after this weekend, it sounds like it's ready to go.
September 18th, we'll tell you a place to show up.
I would hope we'd find out before September 18th where to go.
How about this? Do you want it by email or do you want a hand paper, like a paper invitation?
You mean you're mailing things out?
Like how should we?
Who does that for a bachelor party?
All right, I mean,
just email.
Email all details.
Another, you don't need to email me.
I know. I'm just going to say it's another evite for
Mike's
everyone.
An evite. I don't care what happens.
just an email,
I'm
Joe.
Send Mike on there. I'll put his dad's name on there.
Just
too.
An email, Joe. All right. So Mark has taken care of what he's got. His job should be to take care of the restaurant, the North End. Good. Boom.
Or
done.
Or a restaurant.
You know, Mark, you know, have it in his neighborhood. I'm sure he knows people. He can get us in. I mean, getting into a
party
restaurant.
Party bus with Rich.
Party bus with Rich. And then somebody take control of where the destination is.
That's right.
I like this.
Yep.
It's efficient. We no longer have to bat this around. Everyone knows their role. I like it. All right.
But that's been the point.
Someone contact Mark Jamelli and say all he has to do is focus on the restaurant, and it seems like the problems go away, and everyone finally finds out where we're going.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. I like
this. If anybody wants to DM me any ideas, you know.
I like this.
Certainly, yeah.
See, we workshopped all of this.
Joey Murr on Twitter.
After 6 weeks of discussion, I think we finally have answers, except who's invited and who's not. But that's something different for another day. Friday edition of Toucher and Rich, we got a lot to get to. We have Burt Breer in the 7 o'clock hour. We will talk basketball. We'll talk to Celtics and their lack of aggression in free agency. I guess Enes Kanter is a move, but it's more of a relocation for Enes, who comes back after a year in Portland. But Jay King of The Athletic will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will talk about those revolting, disgusting Red Sox with Bill Koch of the Providence Journal. And in between all of that, we have a game for Joe. We'll get a fantasy football preview from Mike Lockhart. Drafts are beginning. Mike, I talked to a guy last night. He's having his draft this weekend.
Dumb. Wow. That's
yeah, no, it is, yep. But I mean, he's not the only one. There are drafts that are happening now, and before, and I don't even count last night, because last night is just, you know, a way to get to through All-Star Hall of Fame weekend. So the exhibition season really begins this coming Thursday, not last night. No. So, I mean, you really don't know anything, but people are doing drafts right now. So I need your expertise.
You got it.
Especially because now I am in your league this year,
yep.
And I need to pick your brain to do better on my draft. So that's in the 9 o'clock hour. But until then, we have phone calls, 617-779-0985. Tracy is here. Kevin Maggiore is
here.
And we got you until 10 o'clock inside the Town Fair Tire Studios. It's Toucher and Rich on a Friday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. John Wallach, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart here until 10 o'clock. It's time to find out what happened last night. And unfortunately, we have to lead with the Red Sox. And I've always thought all along that the Red Sox were playing way above their heads. And I'm usually not right about this team. Whatever I say, things happen differently. Like in 2018, I didn't think they were very good, and they won 108 games and won the World Series. So goes to show you what I know. But unfortunately, I nailed this one. The Red Sox snapped a five-game losing streak on Wednesday in Detroit, and they played Detroit again yesterday, and Martin Perez started. And because he started, the Sox were behind after three pitches.
One fastball, breaking ball. Now the 0-2 is hammered to left field. A leadoff home run for Robby Grossman to begin the bottom of the first.
Oh, my goodness.
A very long home run by Robby Grossman. So, and by the way, that's Mike Monaco, in case you're wondering. Dave O'Brien took these three games off. Mike Monaco is the voice of the Woo Sox.
Who I don't think is terrible, by the way.
No, he's fine. He filled in for Dave O'Brien these 3 days and Dennis Eckersley. I wonder what Eck was thinking. Because Eck does not suffer fools gladly. So
game, it seemed like they were feeling each other out. But
it kind of reminded me when Don Orsillo stepped in for Sean McDonough and Jerry Remy had to suffer. Because Don is way different than Sean McDonough. And Don would giggle. And, you know, Jerry, the first couple of games he had to deal with Don, you could tell that, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, well, they seemed to enjoy each other after that.
After that, well, it lasted, 10, 15 years? Yeah. I mean, Jerry found out what Don was about and they were fine. But those first couple of games were bumpy. So I'm wondering how Eck did with Mike. But you're right. I thought Mike was fine. But Martin Perez gave up three runs and five hits and got four outs. And the afternoon pretty much went downhill from there.
First pitch swinging into the gap in right center field. And this will get two runs in. Reyes speeds to third with his second triple of the ball game. It is 6-0 Tigers in the fifth.
Yeah, he did it again, and that ball was a little meatball right there. Again, back-to-back balls crushed.
Okay, Red Sox lose this game 8-1. They were never in the game. They were awful. They lose 2 out of 3 to a really bad team. They've lost 6 out of 7. They're a game and a half behind Tampa, who did not play last night. And Martin Perez afterwards said, it's location. It was location that did him in.
Yeah, I think it was a fastball command. You know, it was a... You know, missing the zone with that pitch. You know, when I'm trying to throw a soft pitch, just available to hit that pitch. But I think that was a problem today, you know, command of the fastball.
Okay, Martin Perez has been a fifth starter his entire career. He's pitched better at times this season, and everyone's like, wow, he's having a career year. Martin Perez always has been what you see him now.
Yeah.
That's all he is. He got picked up off the scrap heap as a back-end starter for this ball club. He was all of a sudden the second starter or the top starter at times last year because of COVID, and Sale got hurt and everyone was injured, and all of a sudden the Red Sox had no pitchers. They traded everybody to make this team as bad as possible. He's not good. Most of the rotation is not good, and Alex Cora sees it for what it is.
I can put it plain and simple. That's a bottom line.
Okay.
Plain and simple. That's a bottom line.
All right. Great. Right.
So here's the deal.
I don't even know what he just said.
That's the bottom that's line. That's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so, apparently.
Or Cora said so. Listen, the team right now, like, we get it. You guys had some big wins, comeback wins right before the deadline, and you're disappointed in what happened. It's time to get over it. Like, you have to move on. I thought the win the other day, the 4-1 win, J.D. Martinez hits a home run. They got a good outing.
Yeah, three home runs that day.
You think you'd bounce back off that, and Perez gets you four outs?
He's
four
awesome.
Outs?
He's not good. So he's never been good.
Who do you keep in the rotation, him or Richard? Because at least Richard, I know it's a roller coaster ride, but he'll gut out four, maybe five innings for you.
Other than Nathan Eovaldi, who can not be replaced by Chris Sale when he comes back?
Well, that's
in the
thing. And listen, we've battled this before, Wallach. Like, is Eovaldi an ace? Can he be?
No, he's not an ace.
No, but like today, if he can stop the bleeding again to start a 4-game series against Toronto. Like, I look at him as a top-of-the-line rotation guy that you can depend on.
Nathan Eovaldi is an all-star. He made the all-star team. This is the best season he's ever had in his career, A, because of performance, but B, because he hasn't gotten hurt.
Right.
So, I mean, and the Red Sox are extraordinarily lucky this happened. They have had a healthy rotation all year, but if you look at the five guys that take the baseball for this team, I don't know what Tanner Houck is. I don't think Tanner Houck knows what Tanner Houck is yet. He's a nice addition. He's pitched okay. But if you look at those five guys and then you compare that rotation to other really good teams in the majors, the Red Sox are last in every comparison. These are five mediocre guys that were put together to make this team better than they were last year, which is difficult, but that's what Chaim Bloom did. He doesn't have an ace. He doesn't have a guy who's a number two. He has a number three starter in Nathan Eovaldi that has pitched far, far over his head, and everyone else in that rotation has had similar results up until now. Now, when it matters, and we've gone by the trade deadline, and the Red Sox didn't do anything to bolster their rotation, you see this rotation for what it is, a bunch of mediocre guys that overachieved. And I, just to add on to why Chaim Bloom didn't add a starter, A, he wanted to keep all of his prospects, which I have no problem with, but B, he realizes, even with the addition of Chris Sale, at 75% of what Sale was before, you had another starter, you're still not good enough because you have to throw three mediocre guys out there the rest of the way as well.
Yeah, we may look back at it and say, you know what, the Red Sox did the right thing at the deadline. Maybe they can't beat Chicago or the Astros or some of those other teams. And which
I know they can't beat
in hindsight, though, like maybe that was the right thing to do. And Sam Kennedy said some things the other day that we can get into later. But when it comes to this pitching staff, they asked Corey yesterday, hey, do you want to make changes in the rotation? He said, tomorrow's Nate. We'll go from there. They also mentioned team meetings, like getting the team together. He's like, we do that every single day. But when it comes down to it, some days it is the bad pitching. Then it's the bad hitting. Right now it's both. Like, dude, they're running into outs right now. Like, they're doing everything wrong. They have their head up their asses. The thing is this. They're getting punched in the face. And Cora said this. You're getting punched every single night. They're not fighting back. That whole comeback thing, those 30 comeback wins this year, they fought back. Now they're starting to look like the team that didn't come back after those 30 comeback wins.
Well, they fought back. Sorry, Mike. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, leaving base runners on has been a massive problem. In their last six losses, they have left 56 base runners on.
Yeah, and you know why that is? Because the middle of the order isn't hitting.
Yeah.
The middle of the order hit all year. They hit for 4 months. And here we are in August, and you know what? No one can hit all season. There are very few guys that hit all season. The middle of the order has all-star caliber players that are going through slumps that were far overdue. And you take a look around the edges of this lineup. You know, Kike Hernandez was awful for the first half of the season. He's hot now,
yeah.
But he was awful for the first half of the season. Take a look at the bottom of that order. Dahlbeck, now it's Frenchy Cordero who's playing first base and really doesn't deserve. Frenchy Cordero is a 4A player. He rakes in the minors and can't hit major league pitching. But if you look at the bottom of that order and Kike Hernandez, for some reason, Alex Cora had him hit leadoff for 3 months. I have no idea why. Those guys aren't good. They were being carried by overachieving starting pitching and a middle part of the order that hit all year. And now the middle of the order isn't hitting. Mm. And now the starting pitching isn't nearly as good. So this is what you're left with.
And I give Cora credit. Like, he's moved Verdugo down, right? Like, he's tried to put him. They have Dahlbeck's just growing pains, right? Like, you see him hit a curve. He hit a curveball the other day against the Rays, like, what, 450 feet to left field. But he just can't do it every
night. He's not an everyday player.
You know? Yeah,
he's barely a major leaguer at this point, but you can't send him down because the Red Sox don't have anyone to play first base every day. So you have the Red Sox losing game after game after game, and look at the rearview mirror. Objects are closer than they appear.
Swung on, a high fly to deep right. Getting toward the wall. That ball is gone! Joey jacks one to right field. A three-run home run to give the Yankees a lead. Who is he? He's Pal Joey. And the Yankees now take a 5-3 lead.
I had to look this up. Do you know what the Pal Joey reference is from?
I have no idea. Kangaroo of some sort?
John Sterling is 83 years old. Pal Joey is a reference from a movie from 1957. I kid you not, these are his references.
Was Ronald Reagan in it?
It might as well have been.
Who is he? He's Pal Joey.
Yeah, that's what it's from. In case you're wondering, what the hell is he talking about? That's what he's talking about. A movie from almost, 60 years ago?
1957?
Yeah, Pal Joey. So the Yankees win again.
Rita Hayworth was in the movie.
Right, Rita Hayworth.
Time for Bonzo.
That's right. So Joey Gallo, who was booed after striking out twice 2 nights ago, it gets a huge ovation for a three-run pop fly homer that landed in the short porch in right field. But the Yankees have 9 wins in their last 12 games, and they're 4 games behind the Red Sox in the standings, a game and a half out in the wild card. Things are changing rapidly in the wrong direction for your baseball team, and I don't see an easy fix.
I would look at Cassius when he comes back. I would look at him at first base, do what you can, and then you got to put Sale in the rotation and see what happens. They're a game and a, as bad as it's been, they're a game and a half back in the East. Doesn't get easier tonight against Toronto, though.
Nope.
That's what I'm telling you. Nate Eovaldi has to stop the bleeding tonight. If he does, he's a guy I can believe in. He's done it before, especially in the playoffs. Health's been his issue, as you mentioned. But if you can get a 75% Sale and a Nate Eovaldi, you might be able to work out the other three guys on the rotation.
Well, you might be able to get yourself to the playoffs. And as I was telling Jones yesterday, the reason I think this team can still make the playoffs is because they're ahead. If they were behind or tied with the Yankees, not a chance. They're chasing anybody down.
Yep.
But they have a lead to work with, and maybe that can get them across the finish line as a wild card. Or if Tampa Bay decides to flush things, they might stay close to Tampa Bay and nip them at the wire. 617-779-0985. Mike Lockhart has your headlines. And when we come back, Patriots camp and good news for the Patriots from yesterday in the rain.
Cutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Cutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Cutcher and Rich on a Friday. So we scrapped Funk Friday about 2 months ago, right, Mike? Right around that? We scrapped Funk Friday a while ago.
Did we?
We did. And we had movie themes while you were gone.
Oh, no,
We did all that stuff.
That wasn't good.
So I figured, you know, if we're not going to do Funk Friday, you know, let's do Def Leppard. So
what's the tie-in here?
There's no tie-in. Oh. I wanted it. That's the tie-in.
There you go.
So we're going to do. It's rare that I host the program, so let's. You know, I want to do Def Leppard. We never do Def Leppard, so we're going to do Def Leppard today. And okay. Photograph is one of their better songs, so let's start with that. That's all. They have. Oh, and once again, we have problems with Joe's microphone.
Wrong mic.
Wrong microphone.
That one's a, yeah.
It's over here. It's over here.
Is that what I'm supposed to do?
There it is. Yeah, you can't reach that. She can do it for you. Don't worry. We're good. All right.
You can't reach this glass for some reason.
What's the deal with Def Leppard? Like you just.
I like Def Leppard. That's all.
You just like them.
Yeah, I like Def Leppard. So I'm in. As a matter of fact, I saw Def Leppard in concert at Fenway because we're having all these concerts in a row at Fenway Park. You know, Green Day was last night. Who was the night before? I forget.
Billy Joel
is the night before.
Guns N' Roses.
I mean, there's another one.
New Kids on the Block are tonight.
Oh. So yeah. we got a lot of concerts at Fenway. I was at Fenway Park a couple of years ago. I saw Cheap Trick, Def Leppard, and Journey all in the same bill. Journey was awful. Awful. Terrible. The lead singer, whatever his name is, terrible. That night.
Wow.
And Def Leppard was far and away the best of the three. So.
Def Leppard, a band that's hard for me to like.
Why?
Name somebody in the band.
Oh.
Drummer with one arm.
Yeah.
You get it? Yep. See my point?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Love Def Leppard. Name somebody in the band.
Who cares? Yeah. It's good music. Who cares? Def Leppard's really good.
That's
good.
My point, though, is that like.
We were pretty young when Def Leppard was big.
That's right. But we do remember the one-armed drummer. Yeah.
Do you like the music or not?
It's fine.
I do.
I've never been a huge Def Leppard fan. They're fine.
I mean, Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Yeah.
Loved that as a kid, yeah.
So there we go. We'll play that later. Anyway, we talked about baseball in the first segment. So we move on to football here and the Patriots. And a very, very good day for Mac Jones in the rain. In Foxborough yesterday, we sat here yesterday saying yesterday was a disaster, 2 days ago, a disaster for the Patriots because Mac Jones was not good at all, or 3 days ago because the first time they put the pads on, Mac Jones was horrible, Cam Newton was good.
Season's over.
Season's over, they took the pads off, Mac Jones was much, much better. Bill Belichick apparently making sure everyone can step back, get Mac Jones back into the swing of things, and he had his players outdoors in the pouring rain. And Mac Jones was really good in the rain. And all of a sudden, the hopes of Patriot Nation are good.
I think, just with everybody, you know, a lot of the guys that have been here just said it's a mindset thing. And the coaches said it's a mindset. So you just got to go out there and play. And everything's not going to be perfect. But you can't really overdo it or pay too much attention to it. And it all just goes back to execution, doing what you're supposed to do on the play. And sometimes in the rain, it's a little harder. But at the end of the day, that's just how it's going to be here and at a lot of other places too. You know, you're going to play in games where it's windy, rainy, snowy, whatever, cold. So just got to be ready for everything.
Jones, 11 of 16. Mac Jones, much better than Cam Newton during the competitive periods. He had more snaps in competitive periods. So Cam Newton was asked, you know, what's the deal?
I don't get involved in the reps. I just do what I'm asked and I just go from there. As far as trying to maximize as much as I possibly can when I'm in there. That's the only thing that I control, and that's what I will continue to do.
Turn the microphone back on. And so the big story here is Cam Newton was not good ball security-wise. He was intercepted a couple of times, and Mac Jones was far better. The question is, do we take anything out of this? I do. I think the quicker Mac Jones is good in competitive periods, the quicker he is up to speed, the more likely he will play sooner, and the more likely that the Patriots' fortunes will turn and start going north instead of south. Mike, it seems to me you don't agree with that.
No, I think, as I've been saying, I think it's going to be played out in the preseason games, and you'll find out who the winner is. If Mac Jones is head and shoulders above Cam Newton, I think he'll start. If they're similar, I think you're going to get Cam.
So I'm actually curious how they play the preseason. There's three games, right?
Yep.
You want like Cam to get some action with the first stringers. And then you want Mac to play most of the game, and then Dulagala eats up the rest of the time.
I want Cam Newton, and I'm sure he's a really good guy, but as a fan, I want Cam Newton to get in there and look horrible. Well, and I want Mac Jones to replace him and look great with the same play.
So I'm going to take the preseason games out of it, however Cam looks. I think the biggest takeaway from camp is that you're seeing the growing pains from Mac Jones, but he wants to learn from it. That's everything you hear.
Yeah.
The inconsistencies are still there for Cam Newton. Like, that's got to be the storyline.
Nothing
has changed. One day he's perfect, and the next day he's awful.
Yeah.
Nothing
has changed. Wasn't that like what we saw last year?
Yes. Yeah. And for all the people who were saying, no, you know what? He came in late. It's a very complicated system. You know, he came in June. This year will be much, much better. He's had a full year in the system. He and Belichick are together. He had COVID last year. He'll be much, much better. All of that is crap. He is the same quarterback he has always been since he got here. Nothing has changed. And for those people who think magically he's going to become a three-step drop quarterback and fire the ball out of there, he has no pocket awareness. His arm is shot. He's not going to be able to get the ball to anybody. And all that running that he did last year surprised teams in the first month, but once they picked up on what he was able to do, that offense was a non-factor for most of the season.
Yeah, I think if Cam Newton does start and he has a solid year, you're looking at like 20 touchdowns. I mean, is that going to excite you and get you to a playoff run? No. So I think that you just have to keep with Mac Jones and let him struggle some days and let him win some days and eventually win the job. But yeah, that's what you're looking at with Cam Newton, a very mediocre year at best.
Is it Andrew Callahan of the Herald has a nice little breakdown here. This is what stands out to me. Cam Newton went 5 of 11 yesterday, where Mac Jones went 11 of 16.
Yeah.
So who runs the better offense though? Like, doesn't it seem more consistent? And the total numbers in 11 on 11 are 7 on 7. Cam Newton 61 of 103 with 5 interceptions, where Mac is 78 of 128 with 2 interceptions.
The argument has been that Mac Jones has been playing against mostly backups, and give him credit, he's destroying the backups he's in there against. Yesterday was a little bit different. Yesterday Mac Jones had more run with the ones against the top defense. And real quick, before we get to the break, Bill Belichick is a lot of things. Very rarely is he happy. And yesterday he was happy when Willie McGinnis pulled him aside and he had a long 5-minute conversation with Willie McGinnis. But someone dared to ask him about the rain yesterday before he stepped on the field.
Yeah. Well, again, whatever it is, it is. I can't control that. So looks like the field will be wet. If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, if it's hot, it's hot. It's not, then that's what it is. So,
all right, fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for playing.
If he dies, he dies.
It's true. He does have a bit of Drago in him, doesn't he? It'd be great. And I kind of see him that way sometimes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Crash and I one time were at Gillette Stadium and we walked inside an elevator. And then as the doors were closing, they opened. And Belichick and like three other guys walked in, and it was like Darth Vader entered the elevator. It was terrifying.
He just
looked us up
really
and down, and we were like, oh boy.
It got really cold all of a sudden?
Yeah, like very quiet.
He's like the cooler.
Yeah, you could hear the quiet there when he walked in. It was like, oh, Jesus.
Is that the famous, you know, Crash saw someone naked?
Oh, Adelius Thomas, I think.
It was Adelius Thomas? Yeah. That was the famous Crash Adelius Thomas moment?
He never was allowed down there again, I believe, after that.
No, and actually, I think that's true. Yeah. And was that, I remember you had a moment down at training camp where you were trying to get Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Yeah. I remember
Ben Jarvis Green Day, we did.
That's right. Yeah. But I remember you were trying to get him for that game. Yeah. You know, Fred, I think it was Rich that day who has sent you down there, and you got interrupted in the middle of it?
No, that was Brandon Merriweather.
Oh, you were trying to get Merriweather for something, and then you kind of got cut off in the middle.
Yeah, and then we did, what was that safety, the little safety with the long, Ross Ventrone. Ventrone.
I know.
And then out of nowhere, in the middle of it, Ninkovich was like, come on, let's go. We're going to the weight room. But we ended up getting the bit, but he just took him away from me.
I've become friendly with Ross. Talked to him.
Of course you have.
Boss Ventrone.
Because you know everybody.
I do.
You and Ventrone are buds? What's he up to these days?
He's working in a tech company in Pennsylvania at the moment.
So
his
how do you know?
His brother is the one of the defensive coordinators for the Colts.
Well, wait.
Yeah. He also played here too, didn't he?
Yes, they both did, and they were on the practice squad train. Yeah. They were signed and
then
cut.
Ventrone was like the most ever going back and forth.
14 or 15 times, whatever.
Ventrone broke the record, I think. Yeah.
So how do you know Ross Ventrone?
We work in the tech company, business together.
You guys are buds? You hang out?
We've talked.
You and Jamelli, you hang out for beers, exactly. That kind of stuff?
Yes. Definitely hung out with Nick more than Ross, though.
You haven't tried to like schedule a bachelor party for Ross,
no,
have you?
No.
No, you haven't. He's kind of skipped.
Whoa, what do we got? Turtles racing here?
Yeah.
Can we bet on it?
Is this Olympic?
No.
I want the one on the rough.
Although it might as well be. I saw race walking yesterday. I saw men's field hockey yesterday.
I saw race walking, too. It was wildly intriguing.
God. What? First of all, what has my life come to? But the other part of it is, what has Olympic coverage come to? Does anybody really? If you put that on, it was on NBC, the NBC Sports Network National. You're trying to get people to come and watch your station. No one watches you unless the NHL is on that radio station. Why in God's name would you agree? Well, it's not their choice, but why would, if you're NBC, why would you put that there? That is a guaranteed turnoff. No one will
watch.
In case
someone has diarrhea.
That's a good
that
point.
Happened a couple times
I texted
times
Hardy. Remember when Rich couldn't get through his headline?
Very famous bit on that.
A couple
one.
Olympics ago, a guy had diarrhea.
That's very famous. And, yeah, do we have the Dave? We have the Dave Gosher call of that. Bortskin on his way back to Siberia. Back to Siberia he goes. See if we can find that at the beginning of the next segment.
I think the TNR Olympics should be like, you know, turtles racing.
Yeah,
maybe like a scorpion fight.
Scorpion,
you know,
flush?
Which raindrop's gonna go down to the window first?
Yeah, you ever play that in the shower? Just bet on it, see
just like bet which card's gonna come next. You know what I mean? Like, I think that'd be a great Olympics.
617-779-0985. Do we have that? All right, let's have that. We'll go into break. Dave Gosher calling race walking from yesterday.
So there's an Olympic event called race walking. France's Johan Denis is a three-time European champion and a world record holder in this event. But right now, he's trying to hold in something else. He's in the sweltering heat, and he's in trouble. We've got some leakage from the backside. A deuce and blood combo. Denis is trying to hang in there, but down he goes. Can I get some assistance over here, s'il vous plaît? Maybe a sponge of some sort to help out with the can problems. Don't all race walkers look like they're about to have an accident and just trying to get to the bathroom fast enough anyway? And didn't they warn everyone about the water in Rio? But you've got to give the Frenchman credit. Denis is off the deck, on his feet, and about to finish eighth. Hey, at least he finished. Poopy pants and all. And you thought you were having a day.
Toucher and Rich.
You know what the funny thing about all of that, and I want to talk about Window Nation in a second. That guy raced yesterday. Apparently, that guy was in the race yesterday that I watched.
Got to get back on the horse, John.
I know. It's important. You know what? That's true. Any great athlete, you get knocked down, you got to get back up and prove yourself. Anyway, do you feel the heat coming through your windows? Is your AC working overtime, driving up your energy bills? If so, you need new windows. Replace those low-quality builder-grade windows with new energy-efficient Window Nation windows during their anniversary celebration sale. Beat the fall rush now. Get two free windows with every two you buy, plus you put no money down and you make no payments and pay no interest for 24 months. You want to save money, right? Your air conditioning is working 100% of the time. Your windows leaking in the heat. The air conditioning, you have central air. It's going to be on as well as long as the sensor senses that your house is hot. Stop that. Get good windows from these guys. They've installed over 200,000 windows in the last year. That's 40 times more than the average window company. Buy two windows, get two free. Plus, you put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for 24 months. You cannot beat this deal. I've had Dan, the sales manager, over at my house. These guys are pros. Trust me, you want these guys to fix your windows. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Again, the website, windownation.com. Tell them Wallach sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Change.
talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Montag, lieben Klausen, Globen.
All right.
Of Toucher and Rich, John Wallach, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart here on a Friday. We're going to talk to Bert Breer in a couple of minutes, as we do each and every Friday on this program. But first, let's finish up what happened last night. There was actual football last night. The NFL exhibition season started last night.
Shotgun snap, throws it for the goal line. Touchdown! Going out to his right, Tyler Simmons, the first-year receiver out of Georgia, and that five-yard strike gives the Steelers a little breathing room.
A little breathing room. Steelers beat the Dallas Cowboys 16-3 in Canton, Ohio, and all I was thinking about Joe Murray while watching this game was the over-under. You sat here as part of your weekly segment on Thursday as a bankroll boy, and you said to me that the over-under was 33. I'm fading the trend. You went and you listed all of the scores from the last five or six years.
They were all unders.
And they were all under, and you said, even though a lot of backups are playing in this game, and, you know, most of the time there are no points scored in this game, I'm fading the trend. I'm betting the over. We had 19 points scored last night.
So this is a guy who lost a bet. I didn't bet the game, but this is a guy who lost a bet the way I'm going to sound. It would have went over the total if they made all the field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dead serious. Yeah. This thing last night, I'll actually look up how many, but I'm going to tell you right now, I think they missed six field goals last night.
Yeah. I actually watched the first half of this game, and I don't know why I was punishing myself. It was on in the background because I just want football. I don't like the cold weather that comes with it, but I want football in my life. So I watched the first half, and then I was very happy when I turned it off and didn't care after that because I think it was 3-0 at half. I think it was 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was a field goal right before the half.
Each team missed two field goals, and the guy who was kicking for Dallas missed a 52-yard field goal wide right by about 20 yards right before half. So it was a horrible game to watch, but I watched it anyway because it's a National Football League and I look forward to it. But more importantly, fans in the stands. Mike Tomlin very happy about that.
I don't think any of us missed the fact that just having a stadium full of fans, what that does, the energy that the stands and the fans provided us, man, being without that largely for over a year was good to be back in that type of a football environment. We were appreciative of that.
Okay, so what's that?
19 points scored. The fans made all the difference.
That's right. Exactly. So how much of the game did you guys watch?
Zero.
I watched the whole entire game.
What?
I forgot it was on, to tell you the truth.
Oh, my God. You put yourself through that? You didn't bet on the game. What did you care?
No, I watched the whole entire game. If you ever follow me on Twitter, whenever kickers suck, I'm always like, kickers. And last night, they were bad. And again, it hits the total. It hits if the kicks go through. But I got a lot out of the game. The Steelers aren't going to be good. They still drop balls. And the Cowboys, I think, still stink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't see, you know, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb.
No, it was good to see Najee Harris. I mean, just to kind of get a quick view of what it is he'll be in the offense, which is the bell cow.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep handing the ball to him. We'll find out fantasy-wise what that means because we have Mike Lockhart who's going to do a fantasy football preview in the 9 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Bert Breer. And to say that Bert is a company guy is underselling it. Bert is in Phoenix, and he's on with us this morning. And Tracy, he's already in Zoom if you want to link up with him. And apparently we have to link up with him. It's 4 a.m. in the morning where Bert is, and he's still doing his weekly spot with us. So
Wow. Let's
get out of the way. Let's get through Lockhart's update, and let's bring Bert in here. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. Toucher and Rich on a Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.